good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on your community station, Missionary Radio. And, of course, Joe Barner in with me on this Friday. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, Brian.
Yeah, I tell you what about it? 56 degrees.
56.
Beautiful morning. I mean, beautiful. I like it.
You do.
Do you like it?
I do.
Well, good.
I've been walking a little bit early. This morning I'm here a little earlier than usual, so I didn't have time to walk.
I noticed that.
But I've been bundling up a little bit to get a walk in early in the morning. Sissy, I know.
My goodness. Yeah, I noticed the other morning he came in with a jacket on. I was like, what's he wearing a jacket for? But anyway, no, and of course, my poor little mama, she just freezes to death.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. So, I mean, you know, I understand. I understand, you know.
Well, I was thinking about the school shooting a little bit this morning because I got behind a school bus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it probably made me about 5 minutes later than I was. I wasn't late.
No. You were still hearing plenty of time. not enough time I would have to tell Ken about or anything. I'm just joking.
But it's a good idea when, you know, don't lose your patience.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you might reroute like I did this morning and route a different way so I didn't have to stop at all those stops.
Yeah.
But pray for those children and pray for their safety, especially in light of the recent shooting there in Minnesota.
You know, and too, Joe, you know, when things like that happen, you know, it makes especially parents like myself – you know, we get to thinking about, you know, that could happen anywhere. We just never know.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the importance of prayer is very, very important. You know, as we get our morning started, we should pray for our children that's in school and pray for the protection of our children, you know, because prayer is very important. Let's lift them up today.
Why don't you do that for us, Brian?
Dear Heavenly Father, it's once again we come before you, Lord, just thanking you for this day that you have given us. Lord, we just ask you, of course, to give the parents and teachers and everything that's involved with the shooting in Minnesota, Lord, that you'll just touch them and you'll be with those families today. Lord, we just ask you to protect our children today, the ones that have children out there that's in school. Lord, I just ask you to be over them and watch them. Watch over them and protect them today, and along with our teachers and everything else to us, Lord. We just thank you so much for everything that you do for us. Lead us and guide us through this day in your name. Amen.
Thank you for that prayer from the heart of a dad.
That's right. That's right. I got two girls in school. Actually, three.
Well, when we come back in a little bit, we're going to be looking in the book of Psalms.
Okay.
We're going to start in Psalm 3, and we'll be looking briefly at Psalm 3 and 4, but particularly in verse 5 of prayer in times of trouble.
Okay.
How valuable it is.
There are many who depend on the life-changing music and messages heard on 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio, your community station. Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager. Recently, we received this note. God bless. Your station has completely turned my life around as I sit in the county jail listening to your music and your Bible stories are amazing. Right now, I cannot support your station, but Sunday, I'll be glad to. Friends, that's why we're here. Lives are being changed every day, but summer giving has slowed down, and though some have stepped up, it's not enough yet. Will you be the one to help us get through to our fall carathon? Here's how. Go to missionary.radio, click donate, and give through Cornerstone Payment System. Or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Together, we can keep sharing the life-changing message on your community station, 100% listener-funded, Missionary Radio.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch on this Friday, believe it or not.
Friday is again.
Last Friday of August, Joe.
Oh, boy.
Two more days left, and August is over.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
I appreciate the tip.
I figured you'd want to know that. So. Yeah.
Well, I still can't help but think You know, we didn't start back to school until after Labor Day when I was a kid.
That's
ancient history.
That's ancient history. That's really been a long time ago.
Well, we're in the book of Psalms this morning, and early in the book of Psalms, we encounter some Psalms of David written in times of great trouble. You know, most of us have been there in big trouble at one time or another, facing troublesome situations. I'm not talking about getting called to the principal office, but I'm talking about maybe a health crisis, a major decision, mm-hmm. financial challenge, mm-hmm. a loss of a loved one. In Psalms 3, 4, and 5, we think about, what was David's situation? Well, these psalms are believed to have been written in a time of great trouble for David as king of Israel when one of his sons, Absalom, rebelled against him and tried to overthrow his father as king, and David was forced to flee for his life. He was a man on the run.
Okay.
Not to be confused with a band on the run. But just like you and me as followers of God, when we face troubling situations, even when it seems everything seems to be against us, we can find great comfort, strength, and even wisdom in calling out to God in prayer. Mm-hmm. And that's what David did in these Psalms. Psalm 5 will be our primary focus today, but let's back up to Psalm 3. Does it have a heading over it in your Bible, Brian?
It says a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son.
Okay. That's what mine says.
Okay.
Well, let's read Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2.
Lord, how they have increased who troubled me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah.
I don't remember the particular situation, but I do remember the lament that we used as children.
Okay.
Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'll go eat worms.
No, my goodness.
Did you have a version of that in Elkton, Kentucky?
No, but I have heard that.
Well, just for the record, we never resorted to eating worms.
Well, I hope not. That would be kind of nasty, so.
I think so. But better than having an old-fashioned pity party, that's what that was, David went to the Lord in prayer with his problem. That's a much better option. When it seemed everyone was plotting against him, and in that situation, many of David's closest and most trusted advisors were joining Absalom's plot. And David called out to the friend, our God, in whom he could trust to always hear his prayer. In a time when things looked so bleak for David, when the naysayers were doubting that even God could help and deliver him, David took his problem to the Lord in those first two verses. And then in verses 3 and 4, when David prayed to God, he found God to be his protection.
But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah.
And that word just means a rest, ponder, ponder what has just been said. I've read that it's kind of a musical term.
Okay.
Right. When we're singing choir music or something, we have to be careful when they have a rest in there, lest you inadvertently sing a solo.
I got you.
Well, what did David find the Lord to be for him in these verses? Well, number one, a shield of protection.
Yes.
David said, you, Lord, are a shield around me. And he also said, you're the one who lifts up my head.
Amen.
You ever have anybody lift up your head?
Maybe like a mother figure, you know, to lift up your head, you know, while you're sick or something, you know?
Maybe not literally.
No, just, you
but know. But if you're going around downcast, you know, somebody might literally say, well, lift up your head,
lift
son.
Lift up your head, yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
But it's encouragement. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks to God for encouragement. God gives him hope in the midst of his depression when his situation looked the bleakest. And David lifted his prayer to the Lord, and he believed God heard his prayer. Verse 4, he said, I called out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. Mm-hmm. And not only did God protect his servant David, but in Psalm 3, verses 5 and 6, the Lord gave David peace of mind and of heart, even in a very stressful situation.
I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around.
Now, I'm not sure I could have slept very well in David's situation. On the run for his life.
No.
And left to his own strength and resources, David would have tossed and turned through sleepless nights trying to find a solution to the mess in which he found himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we face stressful times that rock our world, it can be hard to get to sleep.
Yes.
Because you can't find the switch to turn off your mind.
I know. That happens a lot, too.
And David found that the switch was to turn off his mind was taking the situation to God in prayer,
mm-hmm.
and then trusting God to be his protection and his peace. Verses 5 and 6, they're worth reading again how David found peace when he entrusted his plight to the Lord.
I lay down and slept. I woke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me all around.
So not only could David sleep, but when he awoke, he found that the Lord was sustaining him, giving him strength. He got the rest that he needed.
Yes.
And he also had freedom from fear.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands assailing him on every side, and yet he said, I will not fear because I've committed this situation to the Lord. I am in his hands.
Yes.
Verses 7 and 8 then of Psalm 3, David called for the Lord to take care of those who had risen up against him.
Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon your people. Salah.
Now that's indeed a strongly worded prayer to pray, isn't it?
It is.
Have you ever resorted to praying that the Lord would strike your enemies on the jaw or on the cheek, and if they acted wickedly, to break their teeth?
No, I have not.
I can't recall doing that either.
No.
Don't do it yourself. Strike your enemy on the jaw and break out his teeth.
No, don't do that.
But allow the Lord to take care of them in his way and in his time.
Mm-hmm.
In David's situation, Absalom's rebellion against his father failed, and that young man met an untimely death,
mm-hmm.
Much to the distress of his father, because he still loved his son, even though his son caused him great trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what Psalm 3 might be saying to us. Let God provide the deliverance that you need. We just need to be in the place that we need to be in our relationship with him,
mm-hmm.
so that we can enjoy his protection and his peace. Now, Psalm 4 is believed to be connected with Psalm 3, with David praying to the Lord some more in the same situation. The heading over Psalm 4 is interesting. It's for the director of music with stringed instruments,
mm-hmm.
Psalm of David.
Okay.
Apparently, these prayers were to be sung in worship.
Okay.
So David continued in his prayers in verse 1.
Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
In answer to David's prayer, he found the Lord to be his peace,
mm-hmm.
as he placed his trust in the Lord to resolve the situation. Skip down to verse 8 of Psalm 4.
I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
I really like that verse, don't you?
Mm-hmm, I do too.
We have a tapestry hanging in the hallway of our home with a lion and a lamb lying peacefully together,
mm-hmm.
side by side with that verse printed on it. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Mm-hmm.
When we can't sleep, sometimes we should get up and look at that.
That's right.
Take it to heart.
That's a good word.
When we're trusting in the Lord, he can cause even natural predators like that lion mm-hmm. on the tapestry to not be able to harm us.
Yep.
David found that when he entrusted the situation to the Lord, he could lie down and sleep peacefully, knowing that the Lord would keep him safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wonder if Daniel thought about that verse. when he was cast into the lonely, the den of hungry lions.
I don't know.
But these chapters, these psalms speak of a place for evening prayer so that life can be lived with the assurance that God is in control, that he rules over everything for his glory. Charles Spurgeon said, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which the child of God rests his head at night, giving perfect peace, knowing that God is in control." You know, as the old saying goes, we might as well sleep at night because God will be up all night.
That's right.
Watching over us.
Sure will.
Well, when peace seems to elude us, there's also a place for repeated petitions to the Lord. Think about situations when the Lord wakes you up in the night. You might have a burden on your heart or an individual on your heart. Many prayer warriors tell me that that's the time to get up and pray.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is prompting you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then lie down and sleep in peace and safety.
There you go.
Well, as we move into Psalm 5, we'll do that after Pen from the Heart. David also makes a case for praying in the morning.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Murray, thank all of you for your faithfulness to God and your listeners. I am one thankful listener. From Hopkinsville, I love Missionary Radio. I've listened to you all for a very long time. I pray your words are anointed to all ears listening and all hearts to receive and grow. From a Pembroke listener, thank you for all you do. And from Clarksville, praying for y'all, thanks for all you do.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio.
Missionary Radio, your community radio station.
Well, as we move into Psalm 5, David is making a case for praying in the morning. You rest better if you pray at night, but we also might need to pray in the morning.
Yep.
You know, when you think about it, mornings can be overwhelming for people that deal with a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
As you contemplate all that you'll face in this day, and what might come your way that you didn't foresee.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite advantageous to be prayed up to ask the Lord for his help and his wisdom to face the day's challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Mornings for many of us can be rushed
as
we scurry to get ready for work and out the door. Our excuse might be that, well, I'm too busy to pray.
Yep.
But I recall a title of a book that I read years ago said, "Too Busy Not to Pray." You know, the busier that we are, the more we need to pray.
Yes.
Might need to get up just a little bit earlier, and I know that's really early for you, Brian.
It's really early. Really early. I do, be honest with you, Joe, when I do a lot of my praying, it's in the morning in the car when I'm coming here.
Yeah.
That's when I take my time and usually talk to God on the way here in the mornings. So.
Yeah, we should take at least a few moments to commit the day to the Lord, to ask for his presence and strength and direction. It's interesting that the heading over Psalm 4 was for the psalm to be sung accompanied by stringed instruments. The heading of Psalm 5 speaks of being accompanied by pipes, or in some versions, with the flute.
Flute, yep.
Let's read about David's morning prayer life in Psalm 5, verses 1 through 3.
"Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord, In the morning, I will direct it to you, and I will look up.
I think this prayer of David was a prayer of desperation. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be sure that God heard his cry. He prayed, Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Mm-hmm. Hear my cry for help, and I wait expectantly on you. He asked the Lord, please listen to me. Please consider my sighing. Pay attention. Those are words of intense emotion, words of great passion in a time of need. Maybe as parents or grandparents, you've experienced a child tugging at your arm, saying, pay attention to me, listen to me. You may have even had your girls, Brian, take your face in their hands and say, Daddy, don't be distracted. Give me your full attention.
Give me full attention, yep.
And that was David when he cried out to the Lord. And I'm amazed at our God.
Yep.
We don't have to do that to him.
No.
Because although he's hearing your prayer in the morning, he's hearing my prayer in the morning. He's hearing the prayer of millions of other
people.
Believers.
Yes.
And yet he's giving each of us his full attention. I believe that.
That's amazing, right?
It's an amazing God we have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David directed his prayer to the Lord, his God, his King, and it was based on his relationship with God. R.A. Torrey said that when we pray, we should have a definite and vivid realization that God is bending over us and listening to us as we pray. Well, David laid his request before the Lord, and he waited expectantly for God to answer his cries for help. Notice again when he prayed this time, it was in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, his prayer set the tone for the entire day. Having brought his burden and his situation to the Lord, he waited expectantly to watch God move on his behalf during the day. Charles Spurgeon said of praying in the morning, "This is the fittest time for connecting with God. An hour in the morning is worth two in the evening."
Okay.
When the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. Isn't that beautiful?
I like that.
Let me read it again. This is the fittest time in the morning for connecting with God. An hour in the morning is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul.
Amen.
In an old edition of Our Daily Bread, which my mom and dad used for our family devotions, one writer said, start each day with your armor in place and your marching orders in hand. Mm-hmm. And that results from taking time to pray each morning.
Amen.
Not only talking to God, but allowing him to speak to us. You know, as I prepare to teach God's word, it's not unusual for an old song lyric to pop into mind.
Oh, yeah.
And this one goes way back to the mid-70s. I'm recalling a song that the Imperials sang with these lyrics. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and his presence rose like sunrise, like a glory within my breast. All day long his presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me. And then we sailed in perfect calmness over a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, and other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. And then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too might loose the moorings with his presence left behind. And so I think I know the secret, yeah. Learn from many a troubled way. You must seek him in the morning if you want him through the day.
Mm-hmm.
So lesson noted then from Psalms 3 through 5, we already made the point that praying before going to sleep leads to more peaceful sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And praying in the morning sets us up for experiencing God's presence all through the day. And then we're on praying ground all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Heard from a man who is a caregiver for his wife, and he said, I pray all the time in the morning. I need to pray in the mornings for God's help.
Mm-hmm.
The story is told of Billy Graham preparing to be interviewed on the Today Show, An assistant asked for a private room where Dr. Graham could pray before the interview. But when they arrived, the assistant canceled the room. He told the Today Show people, "Well, Mr. Graham started praying when he got up this morning. He prayed while eating breakfast. He prayed while on the way over in the car. And he'll probably be praying all the way through the interview." Sets the tone for the day, doesn't it?
Sets the tone for the day.
So we should guard our hearts to be aware of where we are at spiritually. When it comes to prayer, our heart attitudes matter. Our character matters to God if we want our prayers to be heard. That's what I'm seeing in verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 5, some attitudes and actions that God will not honor if we have them when we attempt to pray.
"For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man."
So if I'm living as a wicked person, as a doer of evil, unless I'm coming to the Lord to confess my sinful lifestyle, how far will my prayers go?
Nowhere.
They'll just bounce off the ceiling.
Yep.
What about coming to God with a boastful or an arrogant heart? Well, verse 5 says, "I cannot stand in God's presence."
Nope.
The arrogant will not stand in God's presence. God, however, does honor a humble heart
that bows
before him.
Yes.
David also recognized in verses 5 and 6, God hates all who do wrong. He destroys those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful he detests. It seems David's enemies, and as the king, the person in power at Israel at that time, he had a lot of enemies, a lot of rivals. And it seems they were at this time lying about him and slandering his character. So maybe fake news is not a new thing after all.
True.
But as David looked around him as a man after God's own heart, I think he had a sinking feeling about the sin and iniquity that was so evident. And we might have that same feeling in our day. It makes you a little sick at heart to read the news, whether online or you may still be getting a newspaper, or to watch the news on TV or on your favorite podcast. But if we're on the Lord's side, our natural reaction should be that it makes us a little sick, sad, grieved.
Yes.
Because it's making God sick as he looks down on the state of our world.
Yes.
And yet God loves the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for the sins of all humanity. We should be praying that our world will be changed by the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to the Lord in prayer, God will reveal to us some sins or character flaws that we need to deal with. Because our God is a holy God, the closer we draw to him, the more we'll see our own sin in the light of his glorious presence. We'll continue on with our study in Psalm 5 after Johnny Erickson Tada sharing hope here on Missionary Radio.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tada to share hope when things are hard. And given that tomorrow is National Grief Awareness Day, hope-filled words are definitely needed for a lot of you, our listeners, maybe struggling with loss. And my friend Tracy Traylor is one of them. Many years ago, when she was a freshman at Baylor University studying design, she drove home one weekend to visit her folks. It was raining hard. Her tire slid on the pavement, and Tracy crashed into a tree on the side of the road. Her head hit the windshield, and this beautiful young woman suffered a terrible brain injury, and she became paralyzed. The injury caused her to lose her speech, but thankfully she remained bright and alert. But Tracy couldn't speak or use her hands. She landed in a wheelchair, had to stop college, and after rehab, went home where her mother became her primary caregiver. Sometime later, I met Tracy when her parents brought her to a Ligonier conference where I was speaking. And after my plenary, Tracy Tracy and I parked our wheelchairs side by side, and her mother helped interpret her daughter's muffled words. We became good friends from then on out, and through the years, we have remained buddies over the emails. Tracy's profound injury was a huge loss, but her mother helped her pursue her love of design, especially in jewelry. Tracy gave instructions, and her mother served as her hands. And you could imagine this sweet relationship between a mother and a daughter. Her mom was everything. Her mother was Tracy's hands, Tracy's interpreter, and providing the best caregiving day in and day out. And then I got an email that was so heartbreaking. Tracy's mother had passed away. I wondered how my friend would manage. And this is what she wrote in her next email. These are her exact words. "Johnny, my pastor and I were communicating about Mom's death. I admitted that I had to let go of the hold, the grip that I had on Mom. My hands would then be free so that they could grab Jesus. In the Bible, there was a woman with a horrible sickness. No one wanted to be around her, but she touched Jesus and her faith healed her. And the same is true with us. We must let go of the things that hold us. Our Lord gives us His strength to let go. There are many things we can grab for comfort, but the only grab, all in capital letters, that matters is the one we have on Christ." It was one of the most remarkable things I had ever heard from a profoundly disabled person. God gave her the amazing grace to be able to release her hold on her mother, even in the midst of grief. Tracy allowed Jesus to enter her grief, and He gave her the strength to trust Him with her huge loss. You know, Randy Alcorn, in his booklet called Grieving with Hope, wrote that, quote, "Grief will come, but it should not drive us from God. It should drive us to Him. We were made for a person and a place, that is Jesus and heaven. And grief reminds us that the world is not as it was meant to be, but it also points us forward to a world where grief itself will be forever abolished." Man, I love that perspective. And believe me, it's the way Tracy is dealing with her loss. She is looking to Jesus, and she is looking to heaven. So, if you are mourning the loss of a loved one, let me send you Randy Alcorn's booklet, Grieving with Hope. Just go to johnnyradio.org and ask for your free copy. Let your grief guide you to God and not away from Him. So get help at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, "Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Johnny Erickson Tata notes, "A sacrifice of praise will always cost you something. It will be a difficult thing to do. It requires trading in our pride, our anger, and most valued of all, our human logic. We'll be compelled to voice our words of praise firmly and precisely, even as our logic screams that God has no idea what He's doing." Most of the verses written about praise in God's Word were penned by men and women who faced crushing heartaches, injustice, treachery, slander, and scores of other intolerable situations. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
This station has really helped keep me grounded and keeps me looking up.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
It's honestly changed my life.
Missionary. Missionary Radio.
We are in Psalm 5 this morning, and we're looking at verses 4 through 6, just to review some ways not to come to God in prayer. We're talking about prayer.
Yes.
Especially morning prayer this morning.
Mm-hmm. Can we reread that?
Yeah, reread.
Okay, I can do that.
4 through 6.
"For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man."
So when it comes to my prayer life, how I'm living matters to God.
It does.
And there are some ways that we need to not come to God in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But as David approached the Lord in prayer at verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 5, he relied on the great love and mercy of God to make him the kind of man that God would respond to with favor.
But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face.
So David came to the Lord in prayer, depending on the Lord's grace and mercy. And his request was for God's leading, for God to lead him to live righteously. And the word is there, because of my enemies. According to Dr. J. Vernon McGee, he's saying, my enemies are watching me. They want me to stumble and fall, but I want to glorify you, God. Prayer was this man's resource when he looked at the wickedness all around him. He prays for the guidance that will enable him to walk in a way that would not bring disrepute upon the name of the Lord. And rather than fight back or try to defend himself, at this point, David prayed for those lying rascals in Psalm 5, verses 9 and 10. He uses, again, some pretty strong language against his enemies.
For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their way, by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you.
This is one of those so-called imprecatory psalms, one of those where the writer is saying, God, take care of them. It's kind of like in Psalm 3 earlier in the hour when he said, deliver me, O God, strike all my enemies on the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. There's a passage in Romans 12, 19 that says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. You know, many of the writers of the Psalms spoke passionately in their prayers to the Lord as David did here. But we balance that with this principle from Romans that where Paul cites, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He invites us to relinquish our need to seek justice personally and to trust that God will take appropriate action. And I believe that's what David did. He entrusted his enemies, those who came against him and rocked his world, he entrusted them to the Lord to punish them in his way and in his time, because God will ultimately take care of the evildoers, those whose rebellion and lies, they're really against him when it comes down to the bottom line. So as David closed Psalm 5, his attention focused once more on the rewards of those who take refuge in the Lord, verses 11 and 12.
But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield.
Bill Crowder, one of the writers for Our Daily Bread, acknowledged, we live in a dangerous world. It's filled with unpredictable challenges and unseen perils. And yet we have joy because we know someone, our God, who's strong enough to carry us through the churning waves of life which threaten to overwhelm us. In the face of life's great dangers and challenges, we can know a joy born out of our trust in God, and His strength is more than enough. In verse 12, we see that God surrounds His people as with a shield. Now, do you think David knew what he was talking about when he spoke of the Lord being his shield?
I believe so.
He was a man familiar with armor. He was a veteran of many conflicts and wars. God surrounds us with his favor so that we are safe from our enemies, even the enemy of our souls, the devil. And this divine blessing is like a shield, an impenetrable shield around his godly ones. So from Psalm 3, Psalm 4, and Psalm 5 today, we see there's value in praying in the evening before we lay our heads down to rest.
Yes.
There's also great value in praying through the morning.
Through the morning.
In the morning, is the day is fresh, and let God's grace drop upon our soul, as Spurgeon put it, early in the morning.
Amen.
Commit the day to the Lord.
Front porch.
Well, Will Graham, grandson of Billy Graham, tells of an instance in August of 1949. He said, my grandfather, a largely unknown young preacher at the time, was at a Christian retreat center in the mountains east of Los Angeles, and a spiritual battle raged inside of him. A friend who had gone to Princeton Theological Seminary had repeatedly and passionately encouraged my grandfather to change his view on Scripture. People no longer accept the Bible as being inspired the way you do. Your faith is too simple, the friend argued. Well, Billy Graham, in his autobiography, Just As I Am, shared, I had no doubts concerning the deity of Jesus Christ or the validity of the gospel. Was the Bible completely true? If I was not exactly doubtful, I was certainly disturbed. And ultimately, after an intense and prayerful study of Scripture, Billy Graham fell to his knees and cried out to God. He acknowledged that he didn't know all the answers or how to respond to his friend's questions, but surrendered to the inerrancy of God's Word by faith. And with the spiritual battle won, the difference in his preaching was immediately noticeable. He spoke with a newfound authority. In November, the Greater Los Angeles Crusade launched the obscure, until that time, evangelist into a household name. But by my grandfather's own admission, Will Graham said, you would likely never have heard of Billy Graham if not for his decision to accept the full authority of Scripture. Mm-hmm. And once the matter was settled in his soul, God used him to reach millions. Amen. Let's take the Word of God as the authoritative Word of God. God's Word says it. I believe it. That settles it.
Amen. That's been The Front Porch, and join us all next week for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.